Welcome in, wrong side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. Shall I say, il s'appelle DJ Schweitzer. Je m'appelle Jeremy Lance. Bonjour.
France has taken over the world.
Apparently.
Yeah. We are now at the conclusion of the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia.
It's over, folks.
It is over.
Has that sunk in yet?
No.
Like, there's no soccer on this week.
Like, none.
Like, there is no World Cup.
I think everyone is probably at the point where they need, like, a no soccer week. Right? Like, it's just been coming at us so thick and fast for so long. And for those of us who work in American soccer know that that's not true at all. We're still ticking on. But it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all gone.
Yeah.
And it's like someone really important in your life has left.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they've gone away, maybe they passed away, whatever you want to think
about. It's like when you're at summer camp, and you're at camp, and this whole week, and this whole just world exists, where these people you're hanging out with, these things you're doing, these activities, these, you know, just all these little just storylines of life that you're just going like, this is all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, poof, you're gone. Like, it's like you leave, and that's all over.
What a succinct comparison there.
And you go like, hey, we'll stay in touch.
It doesn't happen.
You don't.
You'll never have this one back. Nothing will ever be like that one summer in Russia.
For good and for bad.
Yeah, for many, many reasons. But we are at the end of the tournament. We have a champion now. France, of course, are winners. And we're going to get into, we'll talk a bit about this final. We actually watched it together today.
We did.
Yeah. Got together with a small gathering over at Grainworks Brewing. Yeah, you're wearing it right now. In Westchester, Ohio. So
yep.
thanks to Grainworks for playing host to us. Allowed us to booze and watch in their coolly air-conditioned and lowly populated tap room. It was actually great.
Yeah, it's a place that I've seen very packed out before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We were happy that it wasn't. We were trying to dodge just dealing with just a sea of people.
Well, everyone that was there in our group today was well into their 30s.
Yeah.
So
over the whole.
Yeah.
Hey, can I go to a place, get packed in like sardines, and you know, take 20 minutes to get to a bathroom?
Oh, 20 minutes to get a beer. We had burgers back at our place there. And less time than that.
Yeah.
So it was real nice. But that said, we took on all the match together. But before we get to talking about the final in its entirety, I think it'd be worth going back. We made some predictions.
Yes, we did.
At the beginning of the tournament.
Did anyone do decent in those predictions?
I haven't even looked. So I'm scrolling back to see how we did. I know that you did fairly well, and that's why you're patting yourself on the back so nicely
at
the moment.
What are you talking about? Oh, that's embarrassing. Did I do all right?
I mean, you did okay. You did fine.
I think I literally got one thing right, which is Le Bleu.
Yeah, that was about it. So we made, five predictions. The winner, as well as the finalists that they would down,
mm-hmm,
potentially. The Golden Boot, the Golden Glove, Seeded Team Failure, and Wild Prediction.
Okay, let's roll down those bad boys.
So we've already gone across. You did predict France. I went with Germany. So we'll say that one of us performed far better than the others there.
Yep.
Golden Boot, you went, sticking with your France theme, you went with Griezmann.
What do you have, like three maybe?
Yeah,
three,
I think, or four? He did all right there.
Yeah, not terrible.
Got in his Fortnite celebration dances.
Yay.
Hooray. I went with Ronaldo. He had a few. What, four, I think is where he ended up.
Four or five, yeah.
Four or five, so not too bad of a guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
Golden Club, this is another one where I really failed here. I went with Neuer.
Hmm.
Didn't work out too hot there. You went with Lloris. He was
close.
On,
I would say he was probably in the running for that at least.
Until the final today, when he decided to be a donkey. He has, as I've been saying,
his
for a while.
Steve Clark?
Yeah. Just, you know, the ghost of Steve.
Let me putz around with this ball.
But right, Lloris, as I said, I think I said this on the last show, like, Lloris is due. He has one of these every once in a while. And
one boner.
Every once in a while, and he boned one up today. So, but anyway, neither one of us got that one. Seeded team failure. It depends on how you want to define this.
Okay.
We both picked Spain.
Really?
And I would say that they probably were considered failures on the whole.
Sure.
Given that they crashed out to the host Russians, who were considered potentially the worst host team ever. Still shocked that people were making that prediction when South Africa hosted a tournament. Like, just mind-boggling a little bit. But obviously Germany, I think, were probably the seeded team with the worst tournament output. Wild prediction. You chose one that was kind of different.
Yeah.
Manager fired during the cup.
Right.
So damn close.
So it already had happened at that point with Spain.
Yeah.
They had already yardapulted their guy because he took the Barcelona gig.
Madrid.
Madrid gig. He took a gig.
He took a gig in Spain. You got the country right. So.
I guess.
Yeah. One of the two.
A lot of drinking.
Things. Yeah, that's fair. We have done that. I also made a wild prediction. You said maybe Nigeria's coach being the one to get the axe.
Yeah.
That did not happen.
No.
I also predicted Nigeria into the quarters. So, as things go, neither one of us made an accurate wild prediction.
Yeah, I guess there really wasn't any other manager, just vanquished within moments.
We got close with Argentina's manager and the team attempting a mutiny and not pulling it off.
Because he didn't officially get let go till today.
No, it's kind of wild in itself. But we could have seen it, but it didn't quite come to fruition.
Should have happened.
So in all, we made 10 predictions, and only one of them came true. Another ringing endorsement for ourselves as pundits.
I mean, does Chelsea count in that? Because then that was a manager getting yardapulted.
Okay, fair enough. So there were our predictions. We're now at the end, obviously, to just run down what all those things actually were.
Okay.
Winner, France.
France won.
They vanquished Croatia. Neither one of us actually said finalists, so we don't have to necessarily
ding
ourselves there. Golden boot, that ended up being one Sir Harry Kane from England.
Not yet. Hasn't been knighted yet, has he?
Nah, not quite yet, but wouldn't be shocked.
It's coming.
There have been multiple calls to see not only Harry knighted, but also Gareth Southgate. They finished fourth. That's what a knighting is these days.
They finished fourth and statistically actually did not do that great.
That is also their second best performance in a tournament. That's kind of wild.
First being 1966, I'm assuming.
Yeah, when they won, and some might say even dubiously. Mm-hmm. Golden Glove. This one went to a man you're quite familiar with.
Heard of him.
Thibaut Courtois.
Might be losing.
Of Belgium. It looks kind of likely that might happen even. Golden Boot. Oh, we already went through Golden Boot, didn't we? Seeded team failure. Well, that one was clearly Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And then wild prediction. What would you say was a wild prediction here? Sweden maybe making it all the way to the quarters?
I mean, yeah, Sweden having a nice run without Zlatan.
Mm-hmm.
Croatia's run was kind of wild, if someone were to say.
Russia?
Russia making it to the knockout round.
I think Russia making it to that quarterfinal is probably the most surprising thing, given that I think we were even hosing them at the beginning of the tournament, not expecting them to do all that well. So, this is why we don't get paid to do this, I suppose, is our predictions are hot crap, but
so
here we are.
So you get what you pay for.
Yeah, that's right. This podcast is free, and so are lots of other ones that are probably better than this.
Mm-hmm.
That said, let's get back to France and their championship. Adding that second star above the crest.
Uh-huh.
Paul Pogba wanted his own star. He didn't want to have to share it with the people.
What does that mean? He wanted his own star.
The people from 20 years ago won the previous one, and that wasn't their
star.
So
he was just going to have a jersey with one on it, but then when people were like, hey, what's that star represent? He goes, it only represents
just me. That's Paul
me
Pogba's
in
World
2018.
Cup. It's Paul Pogba's
Nothing
World
else.
Cup. On Pogba, though, I do think this is a massive thing for him as far as tournaments go. It's kind of given him some legitimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people have looked at him as a bit of a showman.
I think, not to sound too cheesy here, but this was kind of like a boy becoming a man tournament for him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have, outside of whatever those comments were about, a star of his own. I mean, maybe he wants to, you get a star named after you.
It doesn't cost a whole lot, I'm sure.
And he's like $300 bucks, mm-hmm. and they'll name a star that this company that has no right to naming stars will name a star after you.
Yeah, it's cool. great business.
Outside of that, he had a pretty, like, douchey Pogba, like, free tournament. Like, he didn't have wacky hair the whole time.
Yeah, that was that's topic of conversation today for us while we're watching the game.
He stepped up in big games.
Nothing about his own Twitter emoji.
No.
The brand Pogba seemed to have taken a bit of a backseat to the player and team Pogba that you would actually want. I'm sure Manchester United would love to see more of that Pogba at times. But you're right. I think he grew up a little bit this tournament.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is wild to say for a guy who's been in our consciousness for a long time, but is still just a wee lad. So, but big thing for him. Another player whose story in this just really stands out to me is N'Golo Kanté, another man you're very familiar with.
Heard of him.
Wild to me that 4 years ago, he was playing in the French second division.
Yeah.
4 years ago. Since then, he's won two Premier League titles. He made it to the final of the Euros.
See the Jamie Vardy of...
Yeah, but like a feel-good Jamie Vardy story. He's not someone who punches themselves in the head when they're missing chances.
It's not a tool.
It's mind-blowing to me how good or how meteoric that rise was. I mean, it makes the whole Leicester City story kind of more incredible that they unearthed this gem. But a guy who, kind of surprising, he almost didn't end up getting the golden ball. I thought it was a near certainty that he would get it. Not to say that Luka Modric, who ended up getting it, was very undeserving, very much so. But I thought N'Golo Kanté was the glue that held everything together for France. Oddly so, coming out of the game far earlier than anything anyone would have anticipated.
Yeah, so I got a yellow in the 27th minute, so they're going to freak out and take me off in, like, the 57th?
Yeah.
What?
It was just really odd. But just a huge accomplishment for a guy who's climbed really high heights over the last couple of years.
Yeah, so I would say you look at the key pieces to this squad.
Mm-hmm.
It was Kanté, it was Mbappe, it was Pogba, and then I'd probably put like Ntidi in there.
Yeah, and Griezmann too. I think
you
know, people were expecting, you know, you picked him obviously to win the Golden Boots. He certainly could have, but thinking on it, and he even said something in the lead up to the match. You know, he was the leading goal scorer at the Euros. And he, you know, they ended up losing in the final, right? And he kind of saw in himself maybe a little bit, and perhaps this was coaching and something that was due to Domenech's encouragement, but he changed the way he played a little bit to make himself a little more selfless and, you know, make himself a bit more of a team player. And I think it paid huge dividends for them. There were times when they were trying to, you know, stranglehold out a game, especially in the early stages of the World Cup, and he was like actively suppressing attacks that the French team were taking to like not put themselves in risky situations. So I think he showed an incredible maturity, a guy who's gone through a lot over the last couple of years, a lot of speculation about his future, made a big decision over the course of the World Cup, and then here he is
taking his talents to the same place,
He's been. But yeah, I think he had an underrated World Cup, and people probably won't give him the credit he deserves because I think he played fantastically and played a more quiet role and probably intentionally so.
What was the moment for you that you knew, like, wow, France is like definitely like they are the class of this World Cup? Like, they're going to probably win this thing.
I mean, they're one of the pre-tournament favorites.
Right.
I think all of us kind of went in knowing like France could do a number here.
But we thought that about a lot of teams.
Yeah, I mean, we said that about Croatia. We said that about England potentially.
Yeah, we said that about Germany. And obviously that once matches start to happen, you go, oh, okay, so this team is not where I thought they were.
They never really, to me, like got it fully going in the group stage.
Right, they did.
It wasn't until the Pavard sidewinding volley in the knockout stages that really like made me sit up and go, oh, like this is a guy on the team I didn't even really know a whole lot about, and he just hit an absolute stunner.
I mean that whole Argentina match was kind of I think the moment
for it was me, I think it was like, the coming of age.
Oh wow, yeah, these guys are just absolutely taking it to Argentina right now.
Yeah, and not to say I think Argentina were probably the most vastly overrated team in the tournament, But they really just looked a class above Argentina, and Messi at times even looked hapless against mm-hmm. that side. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just on the offensive side where they have impressed, but it's also been on the defensive end of things where they've really run a pretty tight ship. So it's I would say that Pavard shot was the one where, like, literally it was that moment in time where I went, oh my God, this team is going to probably do it.
Yeah.
I think at that point on, I was like the favorites.
I'm not going to push on you to be like some super historian that can just reel back to every year, but like mm-hmm. within the last several World Cups, where does this France team kind of rank?
Yeah, that's, I mean, a difficult question to answer, obviously, right. Different eras. This is like arguing about Pele versus Maradona versus Messi versus mm-hmm. whomever, right?
So say like the last four.
The last four. So, okay, we're talking about Germany in 2014. Uh-huh. So in 2010, we're talking about Spain, mm-hmm. And then Italy, 2006. Mm-hmm. So we look at these four winners. I think they probably stack up pretty favorably among those. Italy seemed a little bit like a team that were, I mean, they won it with defense. That was
right.
What made that team kind of define them. So maybe they get docked points on the attractiveness scale.
Right. So as far as teams that people are going to remember, you're like, oh man, that team to watch yeah. them.
Was... I think Germany, there were so many stars that were born out of their win.
Mm-hmm.
You think about Thomas Müller and Toni yeah. Kroos and some guys that are now giants of the game really were born during that World Cup. And Germany's, you know, Ozil and Khedira, those type of guys.
And even Neuer, I mean, that was kind yeah. of his real
coming out
big shining of it, yeah. moment there.
So I would say that's probably the team that they would have the most direct comparison to. But I think the best of those teams, even though they kind of did it defensively in their own way, was Spain. Spain was just so revolutionary in the way that they would kind of overtaken world football with a style that no one had an answer for. And that was like in the peak mm-hmm. of that. France on their day, I think anyone feels like, okay, you get Germany on a good day, like they give France a go. You get, you know, Brazil on a good day, they'd give France a go. Like, the best teams probably would push them a little bit. But that Spain team, even though they were only going to beat you 1-0, nobody had an answer for that team.
Right.
And that to me ultimately is probably what put them probably at the top of the class. So probably in, you know, that second to third spot, probably pretty even.
Sweet.
If I had to judge.
And be I able. Mean, you talk about like Germany, like how many stars were birthed out of this. Like mm-hmm. you look at this squad for France now, like how many guys have already kind of like their star was already rising pretty well. I mean, we talk about,
oh, yeah.
we joke about Mbappe, you know, this is coming out party, like after he's already been, you know, sold to PSG for a bazillion dollars.
Yeah. I mean, he had his coming out party in the Champions League
right.
a couple seasons ago. And so we knew about him, right? Like
right.
if you were a soccer nerd, you went into this tournament being like, give that Kylian yeah. Mbappe, watch him. Like, he's going to do something probably.
So you have Mbappe, you have Pogba, you have mm-hmm. Griezmann. Like,
these are all known quantities.
Right. But they were all like kind of – it was all culminating for mm-hmm. them, right?
You know, Hugo Lloris has been around for ages. You know, Rafael Varane has been starting for Real Madrid and has won three Champions Leagues.
Yeah. Like,
these are guys, despite their youth – that we all knew. So you're kind of right yeah. in that respect.
I mean, Giroud has been a commodity in the Premier League for what, 5-6 seasons?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people have been loving on his hair for a mm-hmm. long time now.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit different in that respect. In that, like, this World Cup isn't going to make yeah. any of these guys.
Like, N'Golo Kanté has already mm-hmm. won the Premier League Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, he's already reached the mountaintop there.
And what this has done, I think, though, is cement them as players who are deserving of the praise mm-hmm. that they mm-hmm. that they got here. So kudos to France, obviously. Kudos to you for picking them. I have a France jersey, so I'm gonna claim some sort of ownership.
There you go.
Yeah. No ties. I don't have any 23andMe connection to France.
You didn't do that?
No, I just really liked the kid a couple years
ago. You didn't want to send blood to the Mormon church?
You know. They probably already have some of it.
Okay.
They got cool. in one way or another, I'm sure.
Well, you know, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Let's talk about moments.
Okay.
Moments in this cup that you'll look back at. I mean, you can even go like full matches. Like, I would say for me, like Spain-Portugal, although that both of those teams ultimately didn't really factor in too much to this World Cup. Like, they all bombed out, you know, relatively early. Like, that match was so good. And it was a match that everyone saw coming then that first week of, like, dude, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And it did what amazing match or amazing matchups never do, which is live up to their amazingness.
Yeah, it delivered. I also think I wrote that match down as one to highlight too. Yeah. I think Ronaldo put in one of the most inspiring individual performances of a World Cup.
Yeah, especially that third goal, that free kick where he knew this is our chance to like equalize.
I mean, I think I said to the guy sitting next to me watching it, like, he's going to make this.
Yeah.
Like, and I felt certain that that was what was going to happen. But I don't know that I've ever seen too many other World Cup performances out of a player that was expected to put in that type of performance and actually deliver in the same way. Another, you know, moment or match that stuck out to me, the Belgium-Japan game, the mounting comeback that Belgium had against them.
Yeah, I have Chadley's winner.
Mm-hmm.
On my list.
A delicious, like, Japan going up and getting those two goals. And we're
just thinking, like, whoa, Golden Generation, like, just crapping the bed over here.
And then the Golden Generation being like, oh, wait a minute, we are the Golden Generation.
Yeah.
You mentioned Chadley's goal. The
unlikely
fourth minute.
Of all the people out on the pitch.
West Brom's Nacer Chadley.
Which, by the way, he, like, this guy's got to be moving somewhere, right? He's not playing lower league.
Not going to move out of this. Talk about people whose stock are on the rise. Not to get too ahead of our next segment, but really an awe-inspiring performance. But while Chadley gets the plaudits there, he's the one who finished it off. The team movement, the counter from Belgium, and included Kevin De Bruyne, and then someone who I think had a fabulous tournament and won't get the credit he deserves is Romelu Lukaku.
Mm-hmm.
The run that he drew the defender away with to open up Chadley's space in the middle, as well as the dummy in the process of
And I think about the run he makes to set up the winner against Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, he does these things that are the unseen things that strikers do that are positive. Everyone talks about the goals, the assists, the things that they do that matter on the score lines, but Lukaku provides those and more, and people who think he's not an elite-level striker got a little bit of a lesson in that the guy has so many different facets to his game.
Well, we were talking about it before we started recording about how, like, we determined, like, Giroud was literally put on the squad to be nothing more than a foil.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't intended to score goals.
Yes.
Yeah. When people talk about, you know, oh, Ford's not having
goals. He didn't have any shots on target in this tournament.
Like, hey, he wasn't shooting.
Like, yeah, that's
part of the reason he was doing that.
Probably not the game plan.
You know, one of the other best French strikers who wasn't at this tournament does the same thing for Real Madrid. He is the foil for the dynamic attackers
did he not
around
get
him.
On the squad?
Something about how you can't hook up with little kids. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
We probably were a little more harsh than it needs to be. He wasn't hooking up with, like, children, but he might have been hooking up with teenagers.
In the legal sense, yes, actually he was.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. That said, there are strikers who can do that, and I think Giroud and a player unnamed.
Be a foil, you mean, not
the other aspect of that, yeah.
No one can actually do that. That's just illegal across the board.
Let's get into moments in this World Cup, yeah.
I was with you there, Pavard's, outside of the foot.
If there's like a visual memory that I'll have from this World Cup, it'll be that strike.
Yeah.
Like that view from behind where he swings his damn leg down. Like it was just an incredible, incredible hit. And the amount of technical ability that's needed to do that is a little mind boggling. But yeah,
two other moments. I was going to say cool moments. One of them debatable about the cool part. Peru scoring a goal, that was cool.
Like, yeah.
They finally scored a goal, even though they were getting blown out 6-1 in that match.
And given who scored that goal,
right?
Just a guy who nearly didn't get to be in the tournament.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
so that was a cool moment, just to see like how elated their people were for like, hey, we finally made it, and like we just actually scored a goal. Even
that was cool.
And then not cool, but like one that I think people will remember and talk about. Is international superstar Robbie Williams flicking off the camera in the opening ceremony?
There were a lot.
I mean, that set the tone of like, hey, this is going to be lit.
I mean, there were quite a few famous birds flown in this in this World Cup.
Maradona
his, missed the double.
Yeah, his Coke bender that he was on in the in the luxury box.
No one had a better tournament than Maradona in some respects.
He was living his best life.
Yeah, he was. Another kind of underdog story that I think is worth giving to Japan advancing on fair play points after being level on goals. Goals for and against, goal difference, and points with Senegal.
This is the first time this has happened in the World Cup.
I think this is the first time fair play was used as a tiebreak, right?
Yeah. They thought, don't worry, it'll never come to this, guys. But, well, let's just put it in there. Oh, no.
It's mind-boggling that it impacted so quickly. But that was kind of interesting. Japan, obviously, giving us the other half of that Belgium comeback, of course. So, a bit of a surprise advancing too for the Japanese side.
Yeah,
not much expected out of them in that respect. Staying on the Asian side of things, South Korea's Cho Hyun-woo admitting that his team thought they'd advanced after the 2-0 win over Germany to end up the group stage.
Did they not realize that they were actually instead finishing in third?
No, but I mean, there were points in the result. Like if they won, there was an opportunity for them to go through. But
right.
Apparently, no one informed the players what the hell was going on. So at least three or four.
Because I guess what, Mexico would have had to win?
Yeah, they would have had to.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I mean, they're just layers and layers of incredible moments from throughout this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And just some absolute barn-burning games. We only had one 0-0 out of all the games in this tournament. There was a singular 0-0. How about England and Belgium both trying to lose and Adnan Yenizai forgetting that that's what was happening? I mean,
forgot the game plan.
People talk about like, oh, how can you have a tournament and think it's great that both teams were trying to lose a game? If you don't think that's great, I don't know what you're talking about.
Especially when there's one guy on the pitch that doesn't realize that's what we're doing.
Just fantastic.
And that still kind of baffled that he even made the roster and yet there's his contribution.
Yeah. Also, we need to give a special mention, Croatia, blah, 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 small population. We're not going to really beat that drum. I think it's more this is a country that's come out of incredible political chaos over the last 20, 30 years. You know, mind you, the 98 World Cup was their very first international tournament as a country, and they advanced all the way to the semifinals. They did one better here. It took them 20 years to get, you know, a little bit further along in that respect. But this is a country that nobody really gave proper due to, that people kind of looked at them as dark horses. And I guess sometimes dark horses make it to the final.
Yeah.
Incredible. Luka
Modric. The reason why there's dark horses, because occasionally they actually come through.
Yeah. Turns out the darkness is correct in some respects. But want to give
deep.
Them a...
That was deep right there.
I know, right? But really want to give them some proper due. It's cool seeing a country get geared up for that. Their president, apparently a witch, doesn't get wet when it's raining.
Yeah, she's just hanging out there. Didn't seem to be bothered.
Giving everyone a hug.
I mean, Putin had to be, you know, encapsulated with a giant umbrella instantly, as if he was going to start, the wax was going to start melting off of his face.
Mm. This can't get wet. This can't get wet. The bears will see it. So great World Cup.
Yeah. So let's go...
Yeah, it was great. It was fine. Let's get on from
that. That's how we transition segments.
Yeah,
right. Whatever you're saying.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So what we want to do now is, obviously, from World Cups, careers are altered. Mindsets about certain people and countries are altered for better and for worse.
Sure.
And so that's what we're going to do here. Stock up, stock down. We'll pick a couple teams, players, managers.
Yeah, we can do all of those.
Whatever you want. What you go first.
Okay, so, I mean, if there's one person whose stock went up exponentially in this tournament.
Okay.
Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah.
Like, he went from...
Which you'd say, how much higher can it realistically go?
Well, it's so high that I think PSG's strategy has probably shifted a little bit, and they've gone, while we could sell Neymar... We could probably get more money if we sold Mbappe right now.
Yeah.
I mean, at 200 million euros, I mean, is 300 unrealistic right now?
Well, I mean, Mbappe, regardless of, like, what the transfer fee is and what their plan is. Like, just from a branding aspect, he is now going to be the face of some big campaigns here in the next
year. Well, I mean, and he's got kind of, you know, you hate to make it about, like, attractiveness, but he's got, like, a marketer's face, too, right? Like, he's young, he's vibrant, he's, you know, a good-looking kid.
Yeah.
Like, those are things that people like and will sell on. And he's got some charisma and, you know, we keep saying coming of age, but this is, like, what happened here. He went from being every soccer nerd's, like, early pick and when they're building their FIFA Ultimate teams.
Right.
To now he's going to be, like, everyone's.
The face of soccer.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be on the front of everything now. And, it's not unrealistic to think that he's going to make another big money move here in the not too distant future, and probably be pushing lots of shirts in a way that he hadn't been beforehand.
I mean, it's almost as if you were another player and you were like, hey, I don't want the spotlights taken from me. Like, I should probably move, you know, take a transfer to Italy.
Yeah.
Or something.
Maybe. Might open up some room.
Sell some new shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe work out a deal with Jeep.
Yeah.
I'll give you one, sticking with players.
Yeah.
We've mentioned, like, I don't know, 1,000 times already on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We joke about Mbappe, like, oh, some big club will come and get him because he's already with a big club and he's already gone for a lot of money. Pavard?
Oh, yeah.
Plays for Stuttgart.
Yeah.
He's 22 years old. There's going to be some people putting in some money for him.
I think I tweeted this immediately after the goal.
Yeah.
Like, that goal alone will get him a ridiculous move somewhere. Like, he's going to go to Bayern now. Or you know what I mean? Like, something like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think it's a certainty that he's going to get a move, especially if he's 22 and in Stuttgart.
Yeah.
So, big thing for him. Keep it on the player kick. Going with one of the hosts. You pointed him out as one of the breakout stars earlier on in the tournament. Alexander Golovin from Russia, the 22-year-old.
Yeah.
CSKA Moscow. Just signed a new deal before the tournament, I think. So that just basically means they'll be able to get more for him. I think if there's going to be one of the home side's breakouts, I think that's the one that's going to make a big money move that's probably a little unwarranted.
Yeah. I mean, the last time a young Russian kid dazzled on the big stage, it totally worked out.
Look, Arshavin had a decent run there.
Like what, like season and a half?
Yeah, but it was worth it. And he was a little bit of a terror there for
him. Worth it for who? For him?
For everyone who got to watch what happened in the aftermath.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm going to go sticking with players. Mm-hmm. Mina from Colombia.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Center back who actually just made a move to Barcelona. But it sounds like there's already rumors that he might get loaned or sold. Because he's probably not factoring into that starting lineup here in the immediate future.
I don't know, given how slow Carlos Mascherano, a.k.a. Boulder, that sits on the field.
True, okay.
There's the possibility he could be in that lineup sooner than
anything. But yeah, the young guy had center back had 3 goals in this World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see. I think just his profile is definitely going to rise, if nothing else. But
he's a gargantuan human being.
Mm-hmm.
So
takes up some space.
Yeah.
What else you got? Who else? Anybody else? Team? A manager?
You know, I think from a managerial standpoint, someone who I think deserves it. I don't know if he'll get it or not, but I hope Roberto Martinez is
boom. That's the other one.
Star went up a little bit in this tournament.
I mean, this is a guy who had just recently kind of been run out of the Premier League, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he rose to fame there with Wigan, and then he goes to Everton, and then the Everton thing like sours, and then he's just kind of, you know, floating, doing some analyst work for ESPN and stuff like that.
Sure.
Trying to get back in it. It was. I mean, I remember people were kind of scoffing at the fact that he was even given this job.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it kind of seemed like Belgium were thrown in the towel at the time.
It's like, well, you got who?
Yeah. And, you know, then he brings in Thierry Henry, and people are like, what is happening here? And I'll admit, it's a little different.
It's different. Different's a good.
But that doesn't mean it's bad. And in fact, I think we mostly got to see that he has a little bit more tactical acumen than people are willing to give him credit for.
So
he balanced for the most part a lot of really big egos in that mm-hmm. Belgium squad, mm-hmm. which is no easy task.
So is he going to be the name on everyone's lips when the first manager gets yardapulted in the Premier League this year?
Well, I think the question is one, has his reputation improved enough in England to bring him back? I think it's likely.
Well, it should. He's so media savvy. His Belgian side's 2-0 against England.
So I think it's possible we could see that. The other thing is would he even want to? Like, there's the Euros coming up. He still has a mm-hmm. very talented Belgium squad in his pipeline. Maybe he would want to stay and maybe cement a legacy a little bit. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. But no, I definitely think his stock is pretty up right now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the not-so-exciting side of this. People who are going to walk away from this World Cup and go, that could have gone better for me.
So much like how there was a surefire, here's your highest stock riser.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a surefire, here's your person who lost the most stock during the course of this. Neymar.
Yep.
He 100% became the villain of this World Cup.
Yeah.
And a villain of his own creation, too. He just seems completely unaware of how he's kind of become a cartoon of his own persona.
He is the poster boy for everything that non-soccer fans, at least in this country,
yeah.
that non-soccer fans hate about soccer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Flamboyance, a clear arrogance.
Overly theatric.
Overly theatrical.
Flopping.
The diving, obviously, sits at the top of the list. His hair even just seems to rub American people the wrong way. For all of his talent, I think that's what people find so frustrating about him. For all of his talent, he still resorts to this type of stuff. And I just can't imagine there's a player who, like, monetarily didn't even, like, he wrecked it in the World Cup. Like, this was an opportunity for him, I'm sure he thought about it, was, like, let's make this a World Cup about me. And it's an opportunity for me
to
be considered.
And it was, in all the wrong ways.
He looked at it as an opportunity to be considered in the same light as Messi and Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm.
And he distanced himself from them in the most wrong way.
Because I would say going into it, he was like, as far as like known brand level, like, you know, big brand commodities, as mm-hmm. far as soccer players, it's obviously Ronaldo and Messi are kind of on their own platform there. But then like right under it, like Neymar was kind of riding third in that discussion.
Yeah.
And
now
I think Mbappe stole his seat.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's created room for other people to move into that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can Mbappe fill that void?
Pogba, who's already kind of had his brand going, like,
mm-hmm.
he did the opposite. He went from being that guy that people just got disgusted with.
Yeah.
And in this World Cup, he went the completely other way and was just this guy that was extremely effective on the winning side.
Yeah. I think Mbappe is probably the one with the most potential to do
mm-hmm.
it. I do wonder, like, he's got a weird last name, like, from a Westerner's perspective.
But it's
right?
like a single word kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Just be known
you
as
kind
one
of need
thing.
That. Like, Mbappe can
Mbappe.
Be what it is. But can't you see, like, American parents struggling with, like, how do you pronounce that? And is that an issue that Neymar doesn't necessarily provide in that respect?
Sure.
So. But I do think his brand has suffered tremendously, and you know, be interesting to look in a year's time to see if he slipped down like the jersey sale charts here in the U.S.
Yeah.
As far as popular players.
Another one that his reputation and just his standing with those who support him has gone not so great. Mesut Ozil.
I also had Ozil on the list.
Both on the field and off the field, things did not go well.
Yeah. For a guy who's trying to shake the I'm not lazy and
mm-hmm.
I'm not a selfish human being persona that he's kind of taken on over the last few years, it's like he was like, I'm going to do everything opposite of what I would need to do to make that happen.
Yeah.
Like he embodied the failure that was Germany this year. Like overly confident, too sure
mm-hmm.
of themselves. He kind of became the human form of what Germany were in this World Cup.
Photo ops with the Turkish president didn't really help the situation either.
No, that really doesn't do much of anything for you in that respect. You know, another person whose standing was very high. And not that we didn't expect this type of stuff from him. But Diego Maradona, a guy who you just can't think can hurt his brand anymore, just always finds a way to do it in this World Cup. While hilarious and highly entertaining, there's a guy who just keeps shooting himself for future possible job opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
It's Diego Maradona.
Yeah, I would say any job, especially that involves any kind of background check or drug testing.
FIFA were spending £10,000 a match on him and his envoy. And he's just a World Cup ambassador.
Yeah.
So basically he's there just for photo opportunities. Like that's, people can take pictures of him up in his booth.
He was there, Frankie Hayduck.
Yeah. In all the worst possible ways.
The other down stock I had, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure their stock was too high up. Although I think there was, at least in Egypt's case, some high hopes.
Mm-hmm.
North Africa.
Yeah.
Not a good World Cup for you.
Yeah. I think it all crashed and burned in the Champions League final with Salah.
Yeah.
Although, let's be honest, even if we had a fully fit Mo Salah, he wasn't dragging that Egypt team anywhere.
No, I don't think like, they were
pretty poor.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the rest of the African continent, let's be fair to Senegal.
They barely
missed out on it, so we could have seen them. I think there was some hope that Nigeria would make some noise, and that obviously didn't come true either. So.
But Morocco, Tunisia, Egypt, I mean, those guys were bounced before the thing even got started, it felt like.
Looks like we're going to need some Sub-Saharan Africa on the next edition of the tournament if we're going to see any sort of movement.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Africa on the whole have really... I think a lot of people predicted that there would be a bit of a meteoric rise for African teams. And they just can't seem to get over that hump, right?
African side has advanced to the knockout stage only 9 times ever.
It's still just kind of surprising.
Yeah.
You think about how good some of those Ivory Coast teams were.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they weren't in this tournament, mostly because their golden generation of players are all retiring.
Right. Drogba's like 40.
Yeah. He's still playing in the USL. So, you know, just it's an interesting trend to see how that's not really played out. Heard an interesting take on this. It has a lot to do with coaching and how they've really not developed their own kind of coaching philosophies and systems.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to hire in foreigners who don't necessarily have the long-term prospects in mind for them. So maybe that has something to do with it, but intrigued to see if by the time we're playing in Qatar, if anyone's kind of developed their program.
We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now it's time to do what we do every World Cup special.
Yeah.
Is dive into the Wayback Machine and, mm-hmm. Visit a previous World Cup. So now we are ironically choosing to skip the 98 World Cup.
Yeah.
Which, a brief synopsis, basically kind of like this one.
Mm-hmm.
France wins.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it's 20 years on.
Yeah.
We get roughly the same thing. France wins. Croatia has a good run.
Yeah, that's true.
Those things both happened.
Mm-hmm. And the U.S. had what many would consider to be a disastrous World
Cup.
They went to this one.
Yeah.
But they may as well
just
not
as many have. Points.
Yeah. That's entirely accurate. So, as we said, we're skipping over 98. If you need something that's good to listen to on the 98 World Cup, we'll give the same recommendation that we did on the last show. Just go listen to American Fiasco.
Yeah,
like,
did
you're
that.
Doing yourself a disservice if you haven't yet. But we're going to visit 94. For many reasons, not just because it was held here in the United States.
But partly.
But mostly that. But also because it kind of began the journeys that both of us find ourselves on today, heavily involved in the game of soccer here in the States. And it kind of birthed it for both of us in very different ways, as we've talked about on numerous occasions on this show. So we won't admonish too much of that. Because we have plenty of memories, both that you guys have shared and our own to revisit here. But I'm sure you want to go through your normal slew of questions here.
Yeah.
to test my knowledge on how much I actually remember from this World Cup.
So the champion was?
Champion of this one was Brazil. They beat Italy on penalties.
Yeah, real, real fun one to watch.
Yeah. It was actually terrible. That was actually an atrocious final. Anyway.
So yes, Brazil versus Italy. Third place. Who was third place? Third place and fourth place are both kind of interesting.
Yeah, so I know the answer. Well, actually, I'm not entirely sure that I know who won the third place match, but I can tell you the two teams were in it.
Okay.
So it was Sweden and Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Surprising, but Hristo Stoichkov was kind of the star of that Bulgarian side.
Yeah. His name might come up here in a second.
Yeah, I'm fairly positive I knew that as well. I think Bulgaria ended up winning the third place game, didn't they?
No.
Damn it.
You go out on a limb there.
I do. I felt pretty confident about it, too, but that's why I said I wasn't quite sure.
Golden boot.
Stoichkov sticks out in my head.
So you're correct, but it was actually...
There's a technicality in this, and I couldn't tell you for my life.
The technicality is that two people scored the same amount of goals.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that's a technicality as much as just a tie.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oleg Salenko.
Was he Russian?
Yeah, Russian.
Yeah.
The big thing about this was it was six goals that they each scored.
Mm-hmm.
He scored five of them in one match.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Yeah, now that you say that, that's how the name rings a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He scored five goals in one match, which is still the record.
Kind of wild. all right.
Best player?
Best player at this one. I'm going to go Romario, probably from Brazil.
Bingo, bingo. Mm-hmm. Young player?
Young player of the tournament here. Trying to think of people who may have broken out. Holland had a young squad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Warmer.
I'm really going to struggle to pick out a name. I'm literally pulling out. Two names. Mark Overmars. Ooh. Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Best goalkeeper.
Hmm.
Here's a hint. Same country as the now reigning best goalkeeper.
Wow. A Belgian player.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no way I can tell you who was playing in goal for Belgium in the 94.
Michel Preud-Homme.
Oh,
that guy.
Yeah, there's no way I would have gotten that. I'm just going to say it was Tony Meola. Can we just say it was Tony Meola?
By the way, going back to it was not Tony Meola.
Ah, damn it.
Going back to Mark Overmars, do you know he's actually now the director of football at Ajax?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So he's definitely still doing stuff.
Good.
Fair play award. By the way, this year's fair play went to Spain. I know you were all curious.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
a squad with Costa on it.
Yeah.
won the fair play award.
That seems incredible to me. Fair play, man. It definitely wouldn't have gone to Brazil.
It did. It actually did.
No way.
Yes.
The worst red card of the tournament was given to a Brazilian player.
Hey, but besides that, clean as can be.
Cafu, if you're trying to remember what that red card was, it was delivered to Tab Ramos' forehead.
Yeah.
Outside
of that one large exception, I guess they played it fair.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. I guess that totally accidentally and in an ironic way.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, actually performed better on that than I thought I was going to.
All right. So I have a list of kind of just some memorable, just some things from the tournament that stick out as things that people will remember.
Okay.
And then just some other tidbits.
Sure.
So here's pop quiz. What was the mascot's name? The dog.
Striker.
Striker the dog.
Wasn't it spelled with a Y too?
S-T-R-Y-K-E-R. World Cup pup.
Yeah. I have things with his image on it still.
So we were talking about this beforehand. Four of the nine venues used are no longer like
actual buildings.
Yeah. Well, one of them's still standing.
Okay.
For now.
Yeah. We won't make this me guessing. One is I know the Silver Dome.
We are, yeah. And we also did the guessing off
We did this earlier.
Off the recording.
Yeah. But RFK is the one that still remains.
Still remains, but they officially have no tenants now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to bring a wrecking ball to it or if they're just waiting for it to fall over.
They're just going to let the raccoons just take over. Slowly. It's a raccoon sanctuary.
Imagine how many raccoons you could fill in that place.
A lot.
Raccoon town. what were some of the other ones that are no longer with us?
Foxborough mm-hmm. Stadium.
Up in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You said Silverdome already.
Mm-hmm.
And then Old Giants Stadium in New York, mm-hmm. in East Rutherford, New Jersey, to be correct.
That's right.
Yeah, so four of the nine venues used actually don't even host things or exist in most cases.
I mean, to be fair, it was 24 years ago, so.
Sure. That's true.
Think. In America, we don't keep things along that long.
Well, yeah, you have the Atlanta Braves just built a brand new stadium. The previous stadium was built for the 96 Olympics.
Yes. Man. Still, that always made me mad as a Reds fan. I just hated that the Braves were getting the Olympic stadium. I don't know what it was about that. But it just really ground my gears. Damn Chipper Jones.
This was actually the introduction of the FIFA anthem.
Really?
FIFA Anthem was not played before matches up until this one.
Yeah, it's wild to think how many of the traditions that we think of for the 94 World Cup, or excuse me, for the World Cup that we see today, how many of them were birthed since this point.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, the 94 World Cup, there were only 24 teams.
Right. This was the last one with 24
teams. Yes, it was.
This was the first World Cup where refs did not wear exclusively black.
Huh.
This was the first time that they wore like different colored jerseys.
Man, the 90s has their impact on everything.
Certainly did.
Yeah.
This is also the first World Cup where in the group stages, they did the whole like point system that we do in the leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Where before it was just like just straight up record.
Yep.
But they wanted to persuade teams to play more attacking mm-hmm. football and go for the 3 points for the win in the group stages and not play super conservatively.
Yeah.
And just try to ride it out.
Yeah.
So they made it more that standard 3 point, 1 point, 0 point system.
It's a good thing that happened. That allowed the U.S. team to squeak through in third place.
It worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
So the sponsorships for this World Cup were so 90s. It was amazing.
Oh, man.
Here's a list of just some of the most 90s sponsors they had.
Okay.
Fuji Films.
Okay, yeah. Film. What is film these days?
Sun Microsystems. They're not around anymore.
Their patents are.
Upper Deck.
Like playing cards?
Yeah.
It's great. I'm 90% certain I have Upper Deck World
and
Cup cards.
And then the best one, the most 90s one of all, the maker of all your VHS tapes. JVC.
Yeah. Oh, man. JVC were huge in soccer at the time. On the front of the Arsenal kit for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Man, those were some really good ones.
Opening ceremonies was an absolute trash fire.
Oh, my God. It was.
First of all, it was in Soldier Field in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah was your MC.
Of course.
So we're already on a roll.
Look, when they signed Oprah up for that deal, you can't tell me that they hadn't thought about, like, let's play this thing in L.A. or New York or something like that. And Oprah's like, I'm only doing it if it's in Chicago. Like,
do you think they actually
that had to have been how it went down?
How much of that meeting was explaining what the World Cup was to her?
Probably like, so here's what we're doing. Amount.
We're from the World Cup. We're going to do this thing.
Oh, yeah. Can't imagine. Maybe Stedman's a big.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I have no clue.
I know he goes to a lot of NBA games.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Hangs out with Jim Gray.
Yeah, so, but there's Oprah just emceeing the thing.
So, when they rolled the countries in, they had each country, like, they presented, like, and Bulgaria. And then they had, like, this giant, like, peacock-looking thing that this person would be wearing with, like, the flag.
Yeah.
And then you'd have, like, these dancers come out, all garbed up in whatever. So, it was like, you know, and Mexico, and like all these rancheros rolled up and just started doing like some crazy 90s ranchero line dancing.
Well, I mean, what is the likelihood that the dancers for each country weren't actually from those countries?
Right, they're probably all from Chicago.
I mean, just we talked about the name of the show from a couple weeks ago, Carpooling with Stereotypes. Literally, this was America, like a cartoon of American like outlook on life.
So then when it was the USA's turn.
Yeah.
The music we played.
I
R.O.C.K. in the USA by John Mellencamp.
Yes.
And Oprah did. She rocked. She just sat there and rocked it and danced along. The best part, and both of us at the same time without coordinating with each other tonight.
I know. I don't even
tweeted need... out about the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the Diana Ross. So she was like singing. There was like, looked like a bunch of like college marching bands hanging out around her. And then she was supposed to go up. There was a soccer ball there, like almost like a penalty shootout.
Mm-hmm.
There was some, you know, schlub that answered a classified ad to stand there and pretend to be a goalkeeper in front of this goal that was then after the ball rolled into the goal because she scored this amazing goal. Mm-hmm. The net was going to
explode apart into
two pieces, open up, and then she was going to run up onto the stage that was behind it. The ball was like, I don't know. 8 feet in front of the goal.
I mean, it's far closer than your average standard penalty. Pen, yeah.
She shanked the crap out of that thing. Did not go in.
Luckily, the goal still split apart.
Still exploded, and she was still able to make it to the stage.
Mind you, I mean, not that I'm trying to make this sound any better for her here, but she, I think, took that penalty in stiletto heels while out on the Soldier Field pitch.
That's all sorts of bad idea.
I mean,
no one's going to see your feet.
No.
You can wear, like, ballet flats if you need to.
Especially given this is the 90s, and that just would have looked like a blurry nub
right.
from distance anyway, so.
Because everything was shot
yeah.
With JVC.
JVC videotapes. I mean, just as American as possible. It was like, hey, hey, world, were you worried about us hosting the World Cup? Now you are.
Well, like, you should be.
Yeah, it was really American. It turned out to be a fantastic tournament on the whole. A lot of the teams complained about the distances they had to travel between games. Newsflash, this country is humongous.
Oh, by the way, one last point on the opening ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
It also ended up being at the same day as the OJ chase.
Okay, so when we did our standard request for questions here going into the show and excuse me, not questions, but submissions and of your favorite memories, my mom reached out. Sometimes I always forget my mom has a Twitter account.
Yeah, she occasionally likes the stuff that I say, which I feel really good about.
Oh, good. It makes you judge the one she doesn't like, doesn't it?
Like, what? That wasn't good enough for me?
Yeah. But my mom offered up this one. My kids watching and sitting with the U.S. team members in the hotel bar watching the O.J. Simpson police chase. Literally a memory of my mother's from the 94 World Cup.
So, like, you're just chilling there in a hotel bar watching on just a terribly small and awful TV.
That was actually, it was a 90s big screen TV. Like,
would they take up the whole bar?
Pretty much. But yeah, I was sitting there immediately next to Kobe Jones. Literally, like the chair next to me was Kobe Jones.
Kobe's like, "Hey, is that the 405?"
Conversing with him, yeah. He's like, "I've been stuck on that. It's amazing that he's getting through there like that right now."
Traffic on this tab.
But yeah, that's isn't there? There's an ESPN documentary or 30 for 30 on this.
A lot of crazy things that happened that day. Opening ceremonies of the World Cup, OJ chase, NBA Finals. With the Knicks and Rockets, I want to say.
Maybe.
New York Rangers had their championship parade from mm-hmm. winning the Stanley Cup. And I think Arnold Palmer played like his last U.S. Open or something like that.
Wild. So big eventful day for everyone in that respect.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oprah most of all, of course.
More, yeah, it was pretty awesome for her.
Mm-hmm. Other memories.
You're up.
I'm up. So this World Cup, obviously, for me, turned me from a normal like kid who was really into soccer into a complete and utter soccer nerd. And I say that with the utmost respect for the term. And I figured the best way to do that was to break out a special thing.
This is pretty sweet. This has actually been sitting on your coffee table this whole summer.
Yeah.
We're gonna open it up.
What you can't hear here, this is a box that's got contents in it.
What is on top. Yeah. Say what's on top.
So what is on top is a colored pencil rendition of the World Cup 1994 logo.
Is it a trace or did you guys go freehand?
No, I freehanded it. It looks like I drew it in regular pencil first.
There you go.
And then went in and colored it.
That'll play.
Colored it back in. Underneath that is written in fine cursive. Very, very well done.
Autographs and
autographs
of soccer.
It's a terrible way of wording what I was trying to say here. Is this was going to be soccer autographs that I gathered here. If you look on this side, there's another.
Very ambitious. They have a
another
whole box.
Another drawing.
Yeah, that's the World Cup trophy. That's, yeah. These are freehand. I mean, this is not terrible drawings for a.
I was 11.
11
when
year
I made
old.
This, and 12 by the time the tournament was rolling around. And then if you look on the front edge of this box,
made a couple logos.
Yeah,
USA one.
We got the USA one. I if you didn't know them, I wrote the countries
that's
next
but
to
just
them.
Just in case, just yeah. in case.
The it's Italy crest, the old kind of boxy Italy crest.
Mm-hmm.
Germany still rocking the same crest.
Same thing with Brazil. That,
and Brazil.
That looks exactly like
yeah, the
it
shield.
Is now.
I neglected to put what would have been 3 stars at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, hand-drawn. And the reason for that, and we've talked about this many times in the World Cup, but my dad lived in Detroit. He actually commuted back and forth from Detroit to here in Cincinnati.
Quick little shoot down the road.
Then. Yeah, because he was doing that for work, he lived out of a hotel right across from the Pontiac Silverdome.
So he's just racking up Marriott points.
Yeah, it was Hilton at the time.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. Hilton Honors points all. All
yeah, that's
those
right. We literally lived in Hilton hotels for a long time. And when the 94 World Cup came, it was the nicest big hotel right next to the stadium. And so every team came and stayed there, and that included the U.S. team as well as Switzerland. I have some old Swiss player shin guards somewhere in a box. Haven't dug those out. They're not in this box here.
Probably wouldn't fit.
But knowing that the U.S. team was going to be staying there and other teams, the hotel pretty much just vacated. It was just FIFA officials, media, and then the teams themselves or who stayed at the hotel. They did not kick out my dad, though. Because they're like, we
just
can't.
Grandfathered in.
He's just grandfathered in through it all. And so I had free
this guy range. Basically lives here. We can't make him.
And we had free reign. Like, the Schweitzer children were known in the hotel by the staff. And if I wanted a glass of milk in the middle of the night, I got up and got a glass of milk. So I knew that the U.S. team was going to be there. And it literally was sending me into fanboy extremism. And I made this box with the idea of collecting autographs for them. I don't know why I needed a whole box for them, but that's what I chose to do.
It's generally just done on paper.
Yeah, so I'll open the box up here, and you'll notice that I've stapled a book of paper in here.
Yeah.
And you will find autographs for most of the U.S. men's national team, which makes this some of
my... Again, you wrote next to the autographs, just in case people couldn't read them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's John Harkes.
Yep. Right here on the front page.
Tony Meola.
Mm-hmm.
I can't read your chicken scratch on that bottom one.
Yeah, Mike Sorber.
Okay.
That's a real popular name.
Tab Ramos, Hugo Perez, Ernie Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Can't read upside down.
That's Bora, Coach Miltinovich.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Keep going along here. We've got Clay Kooman.
Mm-hmm.
Alexi Lalas.
Heard of him.
Jürgen Sommer, backup goalkeeper. I'm not sure who that one is. I don't think I ever identified. We'll have to go back in time and look and see who wore the number 20 shirt that year. Roy Wagerle, Mike Lapper, good old Eric Winalda. Got another non-identified one, number 15. We'll have to figure that one out, too.
Number one in your heart.
And then
Kobe Jones.
Kobe Jones, all on one page. But then I had other stuff that I'd kind of gathered from the
so
World Cup.
So you got some tickets here.
Yeah, so we've got some actual World Cup tickets.
To and they put your dad's name on the tickets.
Yeah.
Which, how does that work?
I don't know. Not entirely sure how that worked, but makes it seem cool because my dad and I have the same name, so that works out.
This ticket's mine.
These tickets are mine.
So this is USA, Switzerland, mm-hmm. and then Romania, Switzerland?
Yeah. So those are the two games in Detroit that I went to. I also have an exquisite...
Oh my goodness.
Old jersey t-shirt that I only let Jürgen Sommer sign, apparently. I don't know why that was the choice that I made, but...
It's a good choice.
Yeah. I totally can still fit in this. I tried this on the other day just to see if I could fit into it.
Pretty sweet.
I might actually throw it into the rotation.
I'd do it.
The neck hole on it is enormous, though. It's as 90s
hey,
as neck
get. I found this shirt, the concert shirt from a Weird Al concert I went to in the eighth grade. For some reason, I had the forethought then to buy an adult medium.
Uh-huh.
That absolutely didn't fit me at the time. It totally does now.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And it's in the rotation.
How those type of things work out sometimes.
Yeah.
I have a personally signed page from Bora Maltanovich, like a portrait of his.
Budweiser.
And I also let Marcel Balboa sign it too. So that's some of the other cool stuff. And I've used this box to house like foreign currency that I've held on to.
I love that the going back to the picture here though.
Yeah.
I love that the Budweiser ad on top of it is in Spanish.
Oh yeah. Now you have to remember Bora had jobs with he coached the Mexican national team prior to taking the US job. But yeah, that is an interesting little tidbit. I also dug this out. This is a stamp from 1994.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's got an actual soccer player on it for a little World Cup advertising. And some other things I had stashed in there. I also have tickets from the Olympic final.
There you go.
I have a ticket to my first ever professional soccer game ever. If you want to take a little gander at the name of the team on that ticket.
It'd be the Dayton Dynamo.
Yeah, that's right.
Versus the Buffalo Wolf Blitzers.
Yeah. So I have my first MLS ticket from 96 in here as well. So this box is just a fun little treasure trove to go back into sometimes and see all these old things.
Mm-hmm.
Dug out. I'll snap some pictures and share these online for everyone to take a look at. Really cool. I've got a bunch of other World Cup 94 stuff stashed around, mostly Coca-Cola memorabilia. They did cool city bottles for each host cities. I've got a couple. I think I've got Detroit and maybe Washington, D.C., and I think L.A. I wanted one for the final. So, anyway, this is the box.
Sweet box.
The famed box, yeah.
I guess we should get into real quickly what USA did. They did just enough to get out of the group stage. Is they won one win, one draw, one loss.
Yeah, that's right. That draw coming in the game that I watched at the Silverdome. Against Switzerland, Eric Winalda heading a free kick to pull the U.S. back level. We had some other people share that they were at this match as well on social media. Our good buddy Jason Ridge he mentioned he was in the house for Eric Winalda's wonder goal against Switzerland. He's trying to locate his ticket stubs for that tourney. He has them somewhere. I also have them. So,
yeah, they're right there. I was there in my hand
yeah.
30 seconds ago.
Our good buddy Fletcher.
From Detroit.
He is from Detroit. He said he watched games up at the Pontiac Silverdome as well. Plenty of people in this area tended to make that trip up. We know some people that went to Chicago. I think that's where...
My dad went there.
That's where your dad went to take in games.
He couldn't tell me which match he was at because my dad's just that into soccer.
Yeah.
He was like, I think Germany. Like, well, Germany played basically all of their matches at Chicago, so this is not helpful.
Yeah. But yeah, the U.S., they got that win against Colombia. You'll probably know the story of an Escobar that was murdered for such a transgression of giving away an own goal.
Yeah, yeah.
In the U.S. game.
The dark side of the lone victory there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move on to play Brazil.
Yeah.
The
eventual win, champions. Yeah. And they really actually... fought hard, only lost the game 1-0. Had stretches in it. I think it was Marcelo Balboa almost converted a bicycle kick in that match, literally inches wide of the post. Something that I will forever have burned in my memory. But it was a strong showing for the U.S. They really made a name for themselves and kind of endeared themselves to the rest of the soccer world.
Right, because they had just burst back onto the international scene.
Mm-hmm.
4 years prior.
Yeah, 1990 was their first showing in
40 years.
And so they really wanted to make a splash in this one. And I think the first way they chose to do that was, I think what many associate with the 1994 World Cup is what some call the worst kits of all time. But I'm going to make a strong case for potentially the best kits of all time.
They're up there.
The Adidas US Denim Star kits, just an absolute work of art.
I mean, if they truly sucked, MLS wouldn't have made a kind of fake throwback to them for their All-Star kit a couple years ago.
The best All-Star kit they've done, in my
Hands
opinion,
down.
Too. We had our good buddy Gage Magoto. He mentioned he was two. He really is his dad
strong
or someone
memories,
in the family had a denim kit so that he could now have possession of it. Don't worry, Gage. As I've said before, I also had one at one point, and it mysteriously went missing in a garage sale.
Oof.
Anywho.
That's probably framed in someone's house right now. You realize that, right?
Yeah, probably. Don't ever try to look up buying one now. It will make you very sad and angry. But the denim kits were just spectacular. No one really remembers the aways in those. They had these wavy red and white kits. People kind of assumed the denim kit was the home. It turns out the red and white ones were actually the home kit. But they had denim shorts. People forget the denim shorts existed too. They were Adidas athletic shorts that were denim that had like a red U.S. soccer logo on it. And that was
like denim color. They weren't physically denim.
But they looked like denim.
They weren't wearing jorts out there.
No. And in fact, there were some absolutely spectacular kits on the whole in this tournament. Adidas producing many of them. Germany's iconic kind of diamond bib crest one that was worn by Jurgen Klinsmann, who scored, in my opinion, one of the goals of the tournament.
Yeah.
A really cool kind of popped the ball up to himself and did the spinning volley. It was the goal that made me fall in love with him and then ultimately fall in love with Tottenham Hotspur. So that's a memory that sticks back in my mind for sure. But just some other things, like looking back at that point, I think the other thing that most people think about in this tournament, Roberto Baggio and that missed penalty.
Yeah.
Italy and Brazil going all the way to penalties. First time ever that had happened in a World Cup final. And Baggio, the reigning World Player of the Year, blasting one over the bar to lose the tournament for Italy, has to be one of the most iconic modern World Cup moments.
Yeah.
For all the wrong reasons, of course. but I mentioned earlier that was an absolutely – like, did you watch the final? Do you have any memory of that at all?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
I mean, I was eight.
It was terrible, and a lot of people talk about the reason for that being is this World Cup final was played at like noon in the middle of July in Los Angeles.
So it was 1,000 degrees.
Yeah,
but it's a dry heat. Yeah,
it's apparently okay to do. And it was a game that looked like it was being played in those conditions. Terribly slow. The players didn't really look up for it through stretches. But on the whole, it capped an extravagant World Cup. Still the highest attended World Cup ever, which is really crazy considering they had significantly less games than there currently are.
Right.
And I'm sure that record will only be broken when the tournament returns here in 2026.
So they did have at least two stadiums that seat over 80,000, though.
Yeah.
The Rose Bowl seats like 91,000.
Yeah.
Stanford Stadium, 80-something.
If they host a game in Michigan this time around, I don't know. Did Detroit apply to host? I don't know if they did or not. But if they did, I can't imagine the Big House will be the one that will be in play here this time around.
That'd be sweet.
So, yeah, there is your 1994 World Cup memories. I'm sure there were many more that we skipped over, but we had some personal ones in that damn box. Takes a while to explain. So, we'll close that guy back up.
Close that box up. Mm-hmm. Seal it up.
Seal it up for another 20
years.
You'll
bury it in your backyard. And
not here. That's for certain. Well, that brings us to the end of our World Cup review here. This is just crazy. It's over.
World Cup's over.
We're going to end this like we always do, though. Winners and wankers.
Yep.
Doesn't have to be World Cup related.
Good, because mine aren't.
Only one of mine is.
So okay, yeah, I was going to say, I actually split it too.
Yeah.
I'll start. My winner,
mm-hmm.
This is going to be an unpopular opinion. Anyway, we kind of hit it last week. Guys, Fox did not do that bad of a job. Mm. My winner, Fox, you weren't terrible.
Is that really the threshold at which we want to give people winners? I mean, this is a very prestigious award we're talking about here.
Yeah, because I think the bar was like the expectation was that they were going to just absolutely just
butcher it,
desecrate
mm-hmm.
the game of soccer in this country.
You know, bring out football announcers.
Right. Have Cletus, the Fox robot, like show up the whole time.
Mm-hmm. He had to have had a lonely World Cup.
He's on stashed vacation. Stashed away. I don't know.
Stashed away.
Like, they didn't do the things you were afraid they were going to do. They didn't go out and, like, bring in a bunch of, like, the just Fox, you know, just talking heads from their other sports. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, hey, let's get your opinion. Even though some people thought Tony Meola was Troy Aikman,
mm-hmm.
it was actually Tony Meola.
Close.
Very similar guys, I guess, in voice. They brought their soccer people in.
Mm-hmm.
Their soccer people, largely, don't have English accents, which I know is a real problem for some people.
Yeah.
I think they did a decent job. Like, I don't think they butchered it. I don't think they went way out on making it super Americanized.
Yeah.
Like, World Cup tonight, was it terrible? Yeah, but it was also on at midnight, so like you didn't really have to
suffer through it.
You could easily avoid it.
Most of your friends that weren't soccer fans weren't staying up for it.
Yeah, you could sidestep that one pretty easily.
Well,
that's my point.
I mean, okay.
Rob Stone did fantastic. John Strong did fantastic.
You're not wrong. None of these things are wrong. It's just it feels we all almost wanted it to be a disaster, and it's. It didn't turn into that. Maybe it's disappointed some.
Maybe that's someone's wanker.
Yeah.
Fox wasn't the crap show we wanted it to be.
Damn it. My winner this week, I'm actually giving it to Juventus. Not just for signing Ronaldo. I think it's a huge coup on their part to still get him when he's going to be... who knows when his prime actually ended or is ending. But more for how they... It turns out they structured their deal with Adidas. So normally what teams do is they don't really see... People talk all the time about like... Oh, they made their jersey sales back after signing this player. You know, normally what it is like you sign with Adidas, you get lump sum of X dollars, and then that's all you really see out of it. Juve took a risk on this. They turned down the lump sum amount and said, we would rather do it.
Some like percentage.
As a percentage of sales. And jersey sales was a portion of that. And in doing so, they have actually almost entirely erased Ronaldo's signing fee. Like the transfer.
Like just now, like in the brief amount of time.
In the brief amount of time since he signed, yeah. They were saying, I think within 2 days.
It's Sunday night. He's actually not getting unveiled until tomorrow.
No. And that's in like online sales. Their online store crashed for 8 hours the day that the news broke, which is just ridiculous from someone who works in the web space. That's just a nightmare that you wouldn't even want to sniff towards. Right. And how much lost revenue there was there, but they've made up for it. Huge gamble by Juve on that front, but it seems to have paid off on their end. So Shrewd Business gets the My Winner Award.
Always love when Shrewd Business wins out.
Yeah.
Whom amongst us isn't a fan of Shrewd Business?
I'm always a fan of it.
My wanker.
Mm-hmm.
Not Shrewd Business, but poor architecture and building.
Yeah.
The new Audi Field for DC United open this weekend. Even got some guy from England to come and run around for a bit.
Nice of him.
What a guy.
Paying him $10 to do that, I suppose.
An appearance fee. Not ready for prime time. We talked about it 4 years ago in the Brazil World Cup where parts of the stadiums were like still under construction. This was all allegedly wrapped up. Everything was put in place, but apparently not all the screws were there or fastened properly as a piece of a railing fell from the second deck and struck Lindsay Simpson, the TV sideline reporter for DC United. She had to be basically removed from the broadcast for the rest of the time. She was kind of taken care of, I don't know if she had to go to the hospital or trainers were able to take care of it there. And then that area and then other areas that also had those problems, they just duct taped them. They just threw some duct tape on there.
Not to the opening you want for your new
$400 million
stadium.
Not what you're looking to do.
Yeah.
May or may not have been a protest outside of the stadium. Also that.
Yeah. From your own fans.
Yep.
Best kind of one to have.
Yep.
I'm going to give my wanker award to someone that we've given it to for many times, but there's always a new reason to do so.
Ted?
Nah, that Ted. Man, Ted. It's been a while since Ted's been in this space. I'm sure that's concerning to him.
Sepp Blatter?
Close.
I mean, I'm thinking of the people that have won this award multiple times on our podcast.
The organization that he ran, FIFA.
Oh, okay.
We've given it outright to FIFA on many occasions.
Sure.
But I think what I really want to give this to is the outright and utter ego stroking that FIFA did to Vladimir Putin in this World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the guy was handing out the medals today. Not that you wouldn't expect Putin did not want to hand out medals for these types of things. But this tournament was nothing but a nice way for a regime to paint themselves in a good light. There's been a lot of positive PR about how great Russia's been. And the friends that I've known that have went to Russia have raved about the experiences they had and how great of a time it was. Pass, once you got there, got you onto all the public transportation for free, which is nice. But this really was, a lot like what the Olympics were for Hitler, an opportunity for a brutal regime leader to paint his country in the best possible light. And not only are we doing it for Russia, a country that has questionable morals, is injecting itself into all sorts of corners of the world that it's not really supposed to be.
Just a bit.
But they had the gall to do it for two straight regimes. And that the next World Cup that we get is going to be right around the corner. So it's just a reminder, as great as all this has been, that FIFA is still an absolute trash fire. And that we want so much more out of this organization. It's capable of so much good. And it's about time that they start living up to it a little bit.
It's a shame Ukraine didn't make the World Cup. We could have had our Jesse Owens moment.
It would have been an incredible moment. It is sad that they missed out on it. I'm sure Russia probably gleefully awaited that arrival their failure. So that said, nothing like bashing FIFA right after we get done praising their tournament for
ball washing their entire event.
Yeah. So we like what you're doing, FIFA. Just quit being such jerks about it.
Stop doing the bad parts.
Yeah.
All right.
That gets us to the end. This is the official end of season 5.
Yeah.
No more surprise specials. We're going to take a few weeks off here, and we'll be back doing the normal stuff. Like, this hasn't been that normal.
As I said, the preview is like that we're going to do for Premier League is
just literally like 3 weeks away.
Yeah, like 3 or 4 weeks away.
So you won't have to wait that long for us, kids.
All right, folks.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.